If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen is out this week. He's on a much-needed vacation. Is it bad that he had kind of planned that Utah State and BYU were probably not going to be in the tournament by the end of last weekend? He was right.
Yeah.
So he took the vacation. He had it planned years ago.
When has Utah State or BYU ever given us the reason to believe that they're going to play beyond the opening weekend?
I know.
Or Utah, for that matter. It happens too rarely.
So what did he do? On the way out the door, he's like, yeah, man, watch out for Colorado State. Watch out for New Mexico. Watch out for fill in the blank every Mountain West team. And I bought it, and I started throwing tons of 10-seed upsets over the 7-seeds. And those Mountain West teams. The Nevada loss was the weirdest. Where they were up 17 with like 3 minutes left, that was brutal.
I'm telling you, dude. I know. I bought into a lot of
it
stuff.
Was crazy.
We still got to talk about my bracket later.
Okay, we'll do it.
I'm just telling you.
All right, we'll do it.
I don't know what Kool-Aid I was drinking.
it was Mountain West and BYU Blue. It was all sorts. We bought into all the local teams. All right. Our program is brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients and no preservatives make the G2G Bar the perfect protein bar. You can get them at Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick, Associated Foods, and pop it up at so many other stores, so give them a shot. We're going to kick off the hour, though, with a guest who comes on our show quite often. We're going to dip in. It's not just to talk about Coach Prime, I promise, but Jake Shapiro, that's where we're going to kick things off here with The Cut. Let's do it.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
An incredible selection of Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, Ram. That's Doug Smith dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with great know-how, and nobody knows like Doug Smith. Jake Shapiro on the program here with us, one of our sibling stations across the mountains here, denversports.com. Jake, what's going on, man?
I'm right there with you guys. I picked every Mountain West school to win a game, so I'm in.
And then you know what? We were so down on the Pac-12, we had no clue that they were going to do as well as they did for a minute. And there you go.
No kid.
Hey, even your Buffs, dude. Like, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I was out in Indianapolis for that. I was trying to find my way to Albany for the women's tournament. My women's bracket looks fantastic, so I got that going for me. But, yeah, I'm not surprised at all the transfer news with Colorado, the men's basketball team. They lost Eddie Lamkin, for those who do not know, Luke O'Brien, a couple other guys. It was kind of to be expected. I'm not going to be surprised when KJ Simpson puts his name in the transfer portal as well. He's going to declare for the NBA draft and do both of those things, kind of look around. Just he's probably not ending up back at Colorado. So the Buffs team next year that's going to go to the Big 12 with the youth is going to look completely different.
Well, we're interested in Colorado for all the right and wrong reasons sometimes, I feel like. Now, Sam, who's filling in today for JJ, worked in that Colorado Springs market for a long time on TV, and he's covered a lot of opening days for the Rockies. He's covered a lot of Broncos, obviously, too. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out if Denver is a baseball town.
You're asking a guy who wore a 1954 Denver Bears jersey to work today. So,
awesome.
Kind of biased, but, you know, this is where some of the first integrated baseball happened, the Denver White Elephants, with an integrated Denver Post tournament in the 1930s. There is a great history of baseball in Denver. You can make the case that before the Broncos kind of stole away the town in the 70s and then later again in the 90s, that this was long one of the best baseball cities in America that did not have a major league team. So I think the culture and the history is there, particularly with a lot of the transplants here coming from the East Coast as well. They bring that love of baseball with them. So I think baseball is it is the second biggest sport in Denver. And you look at where all the athletes are going in Colorado and what sports they're playing. It's women's basketball. It's women's soccer. And on the men's side, it is baseball. That has been our best producer of high school sports. So I think baseball is huge here. Unfortunately, the major league team just does not participate in that.
But you know what? And I'm sure you can attest, Coors Field is one of the greatest places to be on a summer evening, whether it's a great Rockies team or not. It is just, I love it. I love Coors Field in the summertime. You know what? Baseball for me, yeah. I love baseball too. I think Denver is kind of baseball second to the Broncos there too. But I do want to ask you about this. When I was out there in Colorado for as long as I was a total of 13 years, 10 years on the Front Range. And I got from fans all the time saying, hey, why don't you show more Big 12 highlights? They're apparently, and just from the people I talk to and everything, the Big 12 footprint in Colorado, outside of the University of Colorado, is pretty big. There was a lot of interest in Big 12, whether it was Nebraska, whether it was Oklahoma's or Oklahoma State's or
whatever. Yeah, it's the Big 8, man. Come on.
Right. And I want to ask you, Jake, is the Big 12 footprint in Colorado still a pretty strong footprint out there?
You know, that's an interesting question because Colorado traditionally is one of those schools, Big 7, even
right.
then Big 8.
Right.
It is ingrained into the culture. And I think you talk to second, third, fourth generation Coloradans, I think that is traditionally what they think of when they think of college athletics, is that Big 12 conference and historically back to the Big 8. So if you go out to the Eastern Plains, which most people think of Colorado, they think of mountains. Well, half the state is actually Eastern Plains, though half the population does not live out there. It is more closely tied definitely to Nebraska, to Kansas, to Texas, to those states and the schools associated in those states. Unfortunately for Colorado, most of the rivalries they had in the Big 12, i.e. Nebraska, i.e. you know, the big Texas schools, are now in different conferences. So the Big 12 that Colorado and Utah enters this year is going to be a lot different than the Big 12 Colorado left 12 years ago. But yeah, I do think there's an interest in it. But I will say, over time, especially because I'm of a little bit of younger generation than you guys, it has shifted in the state of Colorado, both with the transplants and because of the how long it's been since Colorado's been a part of that conference. I would say Colorado's biggest rival is no longer Nebraska. It is Colorado State to students right now and students that have graduated in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I would say that the association, particularly with recruiting in the pipelines, as well as the fans, has more closely gone to Los Angeles than Texas.
Well, so then that raises an interesting question. Now that they're out of the Pac-12 into the Big 12, one of my neighbors played in the 80s for a Colorado Buffs team as a linebacker who, you know, he's like, dude, you don't understand. People don't get the tradition that they have with that part of the country, and it's a big deal. Obviously, they came over at the beginnings of the Pac-12 when Utah did, but now Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, the addition of those schools, what does it do for the conference really overall? I know everybody looks more at the subtraction of Texas and Oklahoma and see of the hit that it takes. And it's obviously, you know, those teams draw a huge amount of television audience and revenue, and that's a tough one to miss. But what do these new teams, including Colorado, bring to the new Big 12?
Well, let me just start simply. Depending on how you calculate it in this country, whether you go by metro statistical area or actual city population, Phoenix is the fourth largest city in the country. Again, depending on how you calculate it. So you have one of the biggest media markets in the country coming to your conference, which is obviously a huge draw because you look at what the other conferences have. Well, the Big Ten has 1, 2, and 3, Chicago, New York, and L.A. So the Big 12 getting one of these, I think, is huge for them. And then you have the rich histories of the programs in Colorado and Utah. Utah obviously is going to have maybe even more close-knit ties in the Big 12 because of BYU already in the conference. So that's going to be beneficial to Utah. I think it's interesting what they're maybe going to do potentially in the future and other sports with, you know, the pods, because there's 5 teams clearly that are closer together than the rest of them. And then why is Orlando in, you know, it's just kind of odd, right? Like, I was in Indiana this past week and I was like, this isn't Big 12 country, but if I go one state further east, it is Big 12 country. So the whole conference is just a bizarre conference. It doesn't make much sense, but it was the best option given presented the opportunities that was in front of both Colorado and Utah and Arizona State. So I understand why Colorado's in it. I personally loved the Pac-12. I would have hoped for it to continue to succeed, but that was never going to happen given what had happened. So, I'm not looking forward necessarily to trips to Lubbock instead of trips to San Francisco and L.A. But at the same time, I'm excited that Colorado does get to keep, you know, we joke about it because it's not really been a rivalry, the Rumble and the Rockies, but at least there's something there, right? Like, it's not like Colorado and UCF. Like, what the heck is that? They wear black and gold. Let's make it a rivalry. That's not a thing. At least Colorado and Utah has a long history of playing each other in athletics.
You know, I kind of hope that Rumble in the Rockies expands to like a three-team rivalry with BYU, Utah, Colorado type thing. I don't know if it's possible or not, but I do want to ask this. Obviously, we're riding the coattails of an amazing, our first experience with Big 12 basketball, having BYU in the conference this past season, just how great that competition level was, how many teams advanced to the NCAA tournament. But we know that all of this shuffling, all of this movement is all driven by football, right? And year two for Dion there out there in Colorado is in a brand new conference for the Buffs. What does year two look like for Dion Sanders in your opinion?
It's Coach Prime.
Coach Prime. Coach Prime, what does year two look like for Coach Prime with the Buffs this year?
Yeah, I think it looks a lot better than this past year, which, by the way, looked a lot better than the year before for Colorado.
Right.
You know, the national media narrative around the Buffaloes has been bizarre to me because it's, oh, they lost 8 of their last 9. They didn't live up to the expectations. The only person saying they were going to be dominant and good last year was Deion Sanders. Like, it's not our job to take at face value what the coach says. It's our job to be critical of it. And the Buffs were starting from literally 1 or 0, depending on who you ask. They had one win last year, or 2 years ago. It was not a good win either. It was against a Cal team at home. So, like, they were starting from so far behind everybody else. So to get two players who are obviously going to be top 10 picks in the NFL draft on their roster for 2 seasons is huge. The transfers that they've had come in are going to be immensely beneficial. And then the couple of recruits that they've signed are some of the best recruits that Colorado has ever had. So, you know, are the Colorado Buffaloes the Alabama Crimson Tide or the Georgia Bulldogs? No. But are the Colorado Buffaloes far better off than they were 3-4 years ago or even going back to the Mike McIntyre era? I think yes. I would expect Colorado to be in the neighborhood of at least 7 to 8 wins this season. I don't think the Big 12 schedule is nearly as tough as what they just saw in the Pac-12. I also think that the team is going to be a lot better. The offensive line has a bunch of transfers on it. They also have the number one recruit in the country on their offensive line for offensive linemen. Shadur should be better with another season under his belt. The wide receivers that they've brought in here are absurd. They're going to have somehow even better skilled position players. And then they've kind of strengthened the defense a little bit. Honestly, my biggest concern with this team is the coaching staff. They have Deion Sanders doing a lot, and I don't know how great of an actual X's and O's coach he is. And his offensive coordinator is Pat Shurmur, who was one of the worst offensive assistants in the NFL after winning Assistant of the Year. But we saw him here in Denver be the leader of probably the worst Broncos offense besides that Nathaniel Hackett offense. So I think a lot of people have a lot of question marks about what is around Deion Sanders on the staff. And that's why I'm not ready to go, oh, college football playoff or whatever. The depth isn't there on this team. They have some high-end talent, and the coaching staff remains a big question mark. They're probably going to be a team that gets ranked at some point. Everyone's going to go goo-goo gaga over them. They're going to lose some games, and they're going to end up with 7 or 8 wins. And it'll be a really nice season for the Buffs.
Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com. So we're going to read his byline. I don't know if you can tell or not, but Jake's into Denver Sports. What was the word you used before? 2 or 3 generation Coloradans. I feel like you're in that camp for sure. I don't know if I've met anybody else who's as in love with all of the things that are Colorado and Colorado-based and somebody who's as honest about all of it, too. So that's what we love having Jake on the program here for us. Now, let's talk about what some expectations and some realities are. First, about the 6 6 losses in a row where they ended their season last year. It was not a good team at the end of the year. It was not a good team by about the 5th game of the season. So how do they get better, not just from a standpoint of, because they've had a lot of talented guys out there and the offense fine, but the defense has been really, really, really bad. And Coach Prime, everybody's still wondering about how kind of now in year two, last year we're wondering how long he was going to stick around. What your thoughts on how long that he feels like being in Colorado, or how, if it's just going to be a short-lived experiment?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what their new DC can do. They pulled him. He was an assistant from the Bengals, who have had one of the better defenses in the NFL the last couple of years. So that should be kind of interesting. Let's be honest. We're going to the Big 12. And Utah plays a different brand of football than just about everyone else in the country at this point. But the Big 12, what, the Buffs need to get one or two stops a game and they can outscore everyone? That's kind of the whole conference's MO in football. So I think as long as their offensive line is a lot better than it was last year and they actually show some commitment to the running game, they have some good backs, they're going to put up a lot of points. So as long as they can get one or two stops a game, and that's so crazy to say, I think they could be okay. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about that part of it. And you mentioned how long Deion would stay. Honestly, I think the most likely scenario as we talk about it here at the end of March, I talk about them being a 7 or 8 win team, is that the Buffs have an 8 win season. They're pretty solid, and they end up going to the Alamo Bowl or something akin to that. And Shadur sits out the bowl game. Travis sits out the bowl game. And Deion Sanders is giving over the coaching duties to an assistant. And that person is the interim. And Deion has already said he's on to the next thing, which honestly for me I think is going to be retirement. I think Deion is not interested in becoming an NFL coach. He's said it over and over. Though he has said in the past over and over, he would never be a Nike guy again. And he's a Nike guy now. So Deion has gone back on his words before. And I wouldn't be surprised if he changed tune here, but I just could not imagine Deion coaching anywhere else, be it college or the NFL. I think his health is not in great shape, and I would expect him to, if he's going to last a little bit longer, it's probably because Shadur Sanders is the quarterback of the Broncos. That's the only way I kind of see him lasting more than 2-3 years here at Colorado. I could see him going one more year if Shadur gets drafted somewhere else, but I think it's probable that he is done after this season.
Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com is where you can read his byline, get to know his stuff so that you can get yourself aware of what the Buffs are doing. And just it's a really fun read to know also. And look, we try to copy off of all the local local kind of markets around us when it comes to getting more major league, big league franchises in here, whether it's Major League Baseball or NHL. And Denver certainly is one of those cities that does really, really good at it. So, Jake, we appreciate it, man. We'll chat with you again.
Jake, tell Rachel hi for me. Former intern of mine at KKTV in Colorado Springs.
Look at you.
From Sam and Salt Lake.
Oh, look at that.
There you go.
I was on with her today. We were talking about the whole Jontay Porter situation. Look how fun.
There you go. Thanks,
right,
Jake.
There you go. Jake Shapiro, everybody. We'll come back. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2GBar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
When TV and radio collide,
love it. Wow.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. T-E-L-E-A.
All right, I'll remind you of my final four, Sam, as you're looking up your bracket on our Bracket Mayhem Challenge. If you are somebody who wants a great user experience, go over to the Bracket Mayhem Challenge on our website. Go check it out. I have all my Elite Eight still intact. Now, it's only the Sweet 16, so that's kind of a dumb thing to say when you go, my final four is still intact, my Sweet 16 is still intact, or my Elite Eight is still intact. The Elite Eight, it gets whittled down to eight, the first games this weekend, right? First set of games this weekend. We'll get our final four by the end of this one because you'll have your regional finals. And I had forgotten who I put in my final four. So I was looking at mine because Sam's reminding me to look at my bracket because he's trying to log into his. He has to submit his Social Security number.
I swear I was already on the KSL Sports.
Do you have one of those bank keys they gave you? There's a lockbox you have to open up on South Temple. You've got to open it, bring it back. There's a piece of paper. It's got a thing on it. Here's my final four. I've got a 4, a 3, a 2, and a 1. Fourth-seeded Alabama, have them in the final four. Third-seeded Illinois, got them in the final four. Second-seeded Marquette and first-seeded Purdue. I've got Illinois-Marquette in the championship game. I've got Marquette winning it. So Don't at me. These are just guesses, just like you all did on your freaking brackets that also all suck, okay? I mean, so, great, good for you if they're good, but I'm just saying.
Look.
But.
I'm going to ask a question that doesn't need an answer. I'm just asking it because I'm trying to figure out whether our KSL group, I'm glad I'm a part of it. You can find me at KSL Sam. I have no idea. We have 113 in this group. Is that all people that work here? I was.
No.
I thought people were able to compare their scores
compete.
To us.
Yeah, they can. They could compete.
Well, how do they
us?
Know who we are? I'm the mine only one says, who put KSL in my name.
Mine says Alex Keery straight on it.
All right, I put KSL Sam. Anyway, hopefully people figure that out. I just would like to know how I'm doing against the other KSL
folks.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I have 90 points. The leader has 100.
Pretty good.
So I'm okay.
Leader's got 112 in our KSL bracket. Huh?
I think it's still Chandler.
Chandler
no,
says 100.
Is Chandler? No, Chandler's not. Oh, I'm looking maybe at a different one then.
Yeah, you are.
I'm looking at our full Utah one. The full Utah one is the guy's got 112.
Here's what I got. My final four is intact. I've got at least I believe so, right? Connecticut, North Carolina, Houston, and Creighton is who I have.
Nobody picked. Has so, Iowa State?
No.
Oh, is that who you have?
They're my winner.
Iowa State?
Their coach with their way too, with okay. a, who wears a smedium on the sideline.
Come on, Holzberg, whatever his name is, TJ, yeah. Coach TJ.
Wait, so you have three number ones in the Final Four?
I know. I almost never
I mean,
do
this
that,
is a good year to do
it
because the only double-digit seed right now still left is NC State, right?
If you look at tournament history, there's usually at least two ones almost every year in
False.
The Final Four.
Sounds fake.
Usually. Nowadays, it's different, right?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's totally changed. I've got Connecticut beating San Diego State. I had BYU beating Iowa State.
Stop.
Yeah, I know.
To get into the
toast.
Elite Eight?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, these are my Sweet 16s. Yeah. I know.
You and every 12-year-old in Orem did the same thing.
This is the first time I've ever done that, and it just – anyway. No, I've got North Carolina beating Alabama. I had Baylor beating Arizona, and, of course, that's not working out with Clemson beating Baylor. I had Tennessee beating Colorado State. So Tennessee's still alive. I had Creighton beating South Carolina. I've got I had Kansas beating McNeese. That one's messed up.
That's
there.
Good. That's great.
I had Purdue beating TCU. Oh, I'm wrong. Sorry.
Yeah. Am You're
I,
wrong. Just
I'm looking at the wrong.
Just say this.
I'm just killing everything. You got my Final Four.
All right.
There you go.
Okay.
Creighton, Purdue, North Carolina, Houston.
All right.
No, I'm sorry. Connecticut, North Carolina. Whatever. I don't. Yeah. This bracket, I can't even
your
read
bracket,
my own bracket.
I'll just say right now, your bracket sucks.
Let me go home.
All right.
I'm just
so
joking.
With Major League Baseball opening up, and the Yankees have taken the lead on the Astros. By the way, opening day down there in Houston, two teams who you probably hate, but it's opening day, so you like reluctantly watch the game on
especially
ESPN.
Especially when it's the only one they
yes.
put on.
It's right now. It's the only one on break. ESPN. Okay.
All right.
So, Major League Baseball, of course, you're rolling out. The opening day experience, they have a list of ballpark foods that are the what they call the kind of the top, the handful of top ones that they've found.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start off with the Chicago White Sox with the 16-ounce campfire milkshake. It's
good.
A s'mores situation, basically, but it's one of those that has the chocolate around the rim. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So that's what you got to get.
Because everyone in Chicago is going camping. So.
I was going to say, I don't know what this has to do with
hey, you know that the minor league baseball team in Colorado Springs that was forever known as the
yeah,
Sky
yeah.
Sox changed uh-huh. their name to the Vibes right when I was moving out here. Now they're like a independent.
Oh yeah, it's like the bananas.
Level.
It's like the banana. Their mascot.
Their mascot is Toasty. He's a s'more. It's
yeah,
a s'more.
That's good.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, the campfire milkshake. No, it's because they're gonna get smoked all season long. That's
yeah,
why.
100%.
Kansas City Royals. Speaking of bad teams. Rolling out a burger to try to distract you from how crappy they are on the field. It's called a back in blue
oh
burger.
Gosh, no,
not black, not back in black, obviously.
Yeah.
Back in blue,
whatever.
And here's the back in blue burger. It's a blue cheese burger, a blue cheese cheeseburger. Okay. But it's not just a blue cheese burger. Mm. It's on a blue, like a really, it's almost teal, right? It's the worst looking bun I've ever seen.
Look.
The black, like, octopus ink buns that they did for, like, in Burger King, this holds nothing to this neon blue burger bun that they're putting on for the Royals. So there
coloring
you go.
A bun doesn't change anything about the cruddy burger you're selling in the ballpark.
I'm or the saying, bad team.
Look, I went to that BYU-Notre Dame game in Las Vegas
a
couple years ago.
They had the Irish whatever.
They had the green hot dog buns.
Yeah.
It was still a garbage chili dog, I'm just saying.
Come on down to the ballpark. Get some crap food.
Anyway.
The Pittsburgh Pirates Renegade hot dog. It's got pot roast on it. Mini pierogies. Now, did you notice this? Look at the picture. So you've got the carb of the bun.
What?
You've got the carb of it. Click on the Major League Baseball, the link right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. The Pittsburgh Pirates bun, it's got pot roast on it, but it also has caramelized onions, pickle slices, and mini pierogies. Which, if you know, pierogies are a like potato dough-based item. So it's more carbs on top of more carbs, all right? And then the Mariners, of course, my Mariners, rolling out the Double Mitchwich. All right, which features the half-grilled chicken. Half-grilled, what does that mean?
Oh.
Does that mean they don't grill it? It's not done all the way through?
Oh.
So a grilled chicken breast, marinated tomatoes, bacon, Havarti cheese, fried avocado wedge. On the other side, there's pulled pork, sliced black forest ham, and Swiss cheese. It actually looks really good.
I'd do it. I would do that hot dog.
That one,
I would do that hot dog in Pittsburgh.
With the pierogies on it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'll give it a try.
I would put,
like,
what's the place that's there?
Pot
famous?
Roast on a burger? That sounds kind of good.
No, it does. But what's the famous fry place out there? They put the Primanti Brothers. They put the fries on the sandwiches. So,
hey,
anyway.
I saw the Mets had a rainbow cookie egg roll. I would eat it.
The rainbow cookie egg roll?
I would eat it.
It actually looks like it's just way overdone. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. When we do, we have our Utah football spring update. See if we can get a hold of some sound from practice today. I mean, it's going to be kind of close here because media availability kind of just got done. So we'll see if we can get some Utes on the air. Stay right here with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Wrapping up the hour with our picks for the best and worst moments on today's show. As JJ and Alex want to hear your best and worst of the day.
I put so much mustard on my hamburgers. So good. What are you talking about?
If there's mustard on it, fine. But so much? Come on, man.
Oh, I need it to
be. But then again, see, I think maybe you are the mustard to your burger is my mayo to my hot dog.
Oh, boy. Wow.
I don't put a lot on, but I do. I don't do it often, but I do. Look, when I grew up going to the ballpark or to a football game.
Mayonnaise available?
I'd get the hot dog with ketchup, mayo, and chopped onions.
It's really bad.
Yeah. Well,
now, I'm not going to kick the
Look, the ballpark the food thing,
onions,
sorry, I'm just going to throw this out real quick.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
If Utah's going to have something, you got to go big. First of all, you got to go big. You got to go with what Utah does good.
Which is?
So two things, fry sauce. You got to have a fry sauce bar, but that's kind of like, you know, we know that's going to happen. Like 10 different kinds of fry sauce. Ice cream. Utah does ice cream. You got to have like a 64-ounce milkshake, like a thick.
Ooh.
Like I'm talking massive thing.
So, you know, the Bees.
Cost you $20.
So the Bees have, they have that baseball, they have the batting helmet.
Yeah, but everyone has the batting helmet with ice cream in it.
But not the little, they have the little, there's a little one.
Too.
I'm talking about the big
one. Yeah, so other ballparks do that too.
But you have to wear it while you eat it.
You got to have a massive milkshake, 64-ounce
milkshake. 64-ounce milkshake.
Anyway.
We are the biggest consumer of ice cream in the country per
mixed
capita.
Sodas, probably, right?
Something crazy. Yeah, some dirty fill in the blank, whatever.
Anyway.
It's fine. Basically, all we're gonna do is the same thing they do over at the Jazz, right? All the same relationships.
J-Dogs will be the hot dog.
R&R barbecue. Fine. All right. Best and worst. We're going to get to that now so we can try to get as much sound from the University of Utah as possible today as soon as it gets here. So we'll spin some wheels here a little bit, and we'll bring you some sound from today. I want to make sure we get that in. But our best is the Utes running the NIT. They are now in the semifinals. So like I said, every time they win a game, it's a big old like, yeah, you made fun of the NIT, but we're the only ones playing currently.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched BYU and Utah, frankly, I don't know, they made it a couple of years ago, didn't they?
I believe so. Utah Valley went to semifinals last year.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So going to the semifinals here locally, great, fine, awesome, fun. They're going to go in. They beat VCU last night by 20.
Mm-hmm.
VCU was a bubble tournament team. They're playing the biggest bubble tournament team
had
the entire season in Indiana State, which I'll remind you, they got the dude, Robbie Avila, who's who they call, there's a couple of nicknames for him, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because he's a big center.
Love it.
He's got the goggles on, too. He's got the really thick glasses.
Bring him back.
I know, and I do think that some of these nicknames are a bit offensive. And I'll tell you that Google doesn't want you to look up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, by the way. They're like, no, you meant Kareem, right? You're like, no, give me this guy that looks like give me this guy that looks like a dude that is like your neighbor playing basketball, right? So, yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from Indiana State.
I'll tell you this. Utah's run to the semifinals of the NIT. Yeah, you know, it is the NIT, whatever. There's going to be a lot of people watching that semifinal game because of the interest
in Indianapolis.
State, right? And they finally got the venue, right? Last year, Orleans Arena was terrible.
Yeah.
Hinkle Fieldhouse. I mean, come on.
That's good.
And, hey, this is great. It is the NIT, but I think this is great recruiting tool for Craig Smith potentially here. There will be eyeballs watching his team and his program, especially as they're getting ready to join the Big 12. People know that Utah is going to the Big 12. Hey, maybe this is something that actually helps jumpstart their I guess, move into that conference.
Hinkle Fieldhouse is the Hoosiers building, right?
Hey, you know what? You want to hear something
Butler,
really cool?
It's Hoosiers, yes.
You want to hear something really cool? Yes. So at Indianapolis at the NCAA tournament, the day one, in between like halftime or a timeout of one of those games, I'm just sitting up there in my media seating. It wasn't a Utah State game, so
did
I'm
just
hanging
out. Did they
just
put it up on the screen?
They brought out five guys from that team.
Wow.
From that team.
A fake championship
team. Well, no,
the real one.
The real team that it was based off.
I thought you meant, they brought, they brought Jimmy Chitwood out.
Right. No. But they brought out five guys from the original. And I wish
those
I could
guys
remember
are
the name
of it.
Like Milan High School or something. I'd have to look it up to remember. But the team that Hoosiers was based off of, they were old guys. They were out there. But that was a cool moment.
That
was a cool moment.
All right. There you go.
Save big money and transform your home with new appliances now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices and the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Check out top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home and save big money on new appliances at Menards. Shop our entire selection of appliance options online today at Menards.com.
Save big.